Orc technology shouldn't work. By all sane reasoning, it has no right to function at all. Picture an orc contraption in your mind, a tank made of scrap metal sheets, riveted at odd angles, belching smoke and roaring like a wounded beast, a gun that's basically two pipes, and a spring held together with hope and duct tape, if that. An aircraft that looks less aerodynamic than a brick with wings. These things defy common sense, engineering principles, even the laws of physics on a good day. Any human engineer or Tau scientist would take one look and declare, "This will explode the moment you turn it on." And yet, much to the galaxy's befuddlement and the orcs' gleeful joy, their machines not only run, but often run well enough to lay waste to armies and worlds. In the universe of Warhammer 40,000, orc technology shouldn't work, but it does. And the reasons behind that absurd fact are as fascinating as they are flat-out ridiculous. So what's the orc's secret? How can a bunch of muscle-bound, green-skinned hooligans with no formal education and a penchant for hitting things with hammers possibly build functioning weapons of war? The answer lies in a bizarre combination of biology, psychology, and plain old brute force improvisation. To understand it, we have to delve into what makes an orc, their unique minds and culture, and the strange, almost mystical forces that they unwittingly harness. It turns out that orcs cheat at reality. They have a hidden ace up their sleeve, a gestalt psychic field commonly called the Waa, named after their guttural war cry. This collective psychic aura is woven through every aspect of orc life, even their machinery. In simple terms, orcs believe, truly, deeply believe, that their contraptions will work. And in the Warhammer 40K universe, belief is a powerful thing. With enough orcs thinking the same thing, their combined will leaks into reality and makes it true. It's as if the orcs' enthusiasm and confidence form an invisible, universe-bending glue that holds their ramshackle technology together just long enough to do its violent work. Now, before we imagine orcs as cackling wizards consciously casting spells on their guns, let's clarify. This process is entirely subconscious. Your average orc isn't sitting around chanting incantations over his shooter to enchant it. Far from it, orcs have no idea they're influencing reality at all. They just assume the world works the way they think it does, and then charge headlong into battle with that assumption in mind. It's a little like the power of positive thinking, dialed up to 11 and weaponized. The orcs' collective psyche suffuses the air around them. When enough of them get together, that psychic field becomes potent. They don't know it's there, but they don't need to. They'll swear up and down that their guns and vehicles work because they built them right, or because, as any orc would say, "Oi, it's a good bit so kit, dis is." Completely unaware that it's their own belief fueling the engine in ways beyond physics, consider one of the most famous, and frankly hilarious, examples. Orcs firmly believe that painting a vehicle red makes it go faster. It's a deeply entrenched bit of orc cultural knowledge. Red ones go faster. Ask any orc, and he'll explain to you, probably slowly and with small, simple words, since you're clearly stupid for not knowing, that a red war buggy just outruns a blue or green one. No question about it. By all rights, this is pure superstition. Paint job shouldn't affect speed. But in practice, time and again, red orc vehicles do indeed seem to zip around with an extra pep in their step. In the lore of 40K, this isn't just a placebo effect of the driver pushing the pedal harder, though that likely happens too. It's the collective conviction of the mob of orcs seeping into reality. Enough orcs think red makes things zoom, and lo and behold, the universe shrugs and says, "Fine, sure, red ones go faster." It's as if the orcs are engaged in a constant, unconscious act of minor magic, enforced by consensus. They've turned the entire galaxy into a huge game of make-believe. and they're winning. Orc technology, often lovingly referred to by orcs as technology or technologi in their rough phonetics, benefits enormously from this phenomenon. When outsiders examine orc machines, they're usually flabbergasted. Imperial scholars and Mechanicus tech priests have studied captured orc weapons and vehicles, only to find themselves scratching their heads or tearing their hair out, or what hair the Mechanicus have left under those augmentations. There are anecdotal reports of tech marines, expert space marine engineers, who opened up an orc gun, expecting to find some jury-rigged firing mechanism inside, and discovered nothing but a box of bolts and scrap metal. By all logic, it should be incapable of firing a single shot. And yet that very same weapon was mowing down soldiers moments before, spitting bullets as if it were a perfectly functional firearm. How? Well, put it this way, if an orc thinks a box of scrap should shoot, somehow it does. The Mechanicus have nightmares about this sort of thing. It's essentially technological heresy. It's as though the orcs are thumbing their noses at the Adeptus Mechanicus's sacred laws of engineering, replacing the litany of maintenance with hit it until it works, and if it doesn't, shout at it and hit it again. Of course, it's not all just mind over matter. Let's give the orcs some credit here. They're not literally picking up empty boxes and imagining them into machine guns. There is some method, buried under madness, to their approach. This is where the other side of the coin comes in. Orcs have a form of instinctive expertise, coded into their very DNA. See, orcs aren't a naturally evolved species. They were engineered a long, long time ago by ancient beings, often referred to as the Brain Boys, or the Old Ones in cryptic Xenos lore. These long-dead geniuses apparently designed the orcs to be the ultimate plug-and-play soldiers. They didn't want a warrior species that needed to stop and go to school to learn how to fix a tank. They wanted warriors who could literally grow their own support crews as needed. So, orcs pop out of the ground. Well, out of spore pods in the ground. They're fungus-based life forms, believe it or not, with certain talents pre-installed, like a biologically programmed toolkit. Within orc society, there are specialized individuals known collectively as odd boys. These include mech boys, the tinkerers and mechanics, pain boys, medics and surgeons with terrifyingly enthusiastic methods. Think mad scientist meets butcher and you'd be close. Runthards, grot and squig wranglers, weird boys, psychers who channel and unleash the wah energy in spectacularly unstable ways, and so on. A pain boy will perform surgery with whatever tools he has, a rusty saw, some squiggly bits to stitch you up, and an orc patient will typically survive it, even if he wakes up with a metal peg where his arm was, or a bionic eye he never asked for. Orcs are tough enough, and frankly, dim enough, that as long as they can get back to fighting, they consider the operation a success, bedside manner be damned. Meanwhile, a mech boy, for example, has an inherent knack for engineering. Nobody taught him what a wrench is or how to assemble an engine. He just has a gut understanding of mechanical principles. It's subconscious and instinctive. You might say it's genetic memory or programming from those ancient creators. When a mech boy starts cobbling together a vehicle or a gun, he does it as naturally as an ant builds an anthill or a spider spins a web. He might not be able to articulate what a carburetor is, but he doesn't need to. Somewhere in that thick green skull, he just knows that if you stick a pipe here and a gear there and wire it up with some squiggly bits, you get a working shooter that goes daka, daka, daka on full auto. This ingrained know-how means orcs aren't quite as dumb as they look when it comes to tech. Well, all right, in a sense they are. They're not doing calculus or running CAD software, and their comprehension of finer details is hilariously lacking. But they have what you might call mechanical instinct. A human tech student might spend years learning how to design an internal combustion engine. An orc mech just starts nailing together metal bits, and more often than not, he ends up with a crude engine that runs. It might run on some concoction of promethium fuel, or fungus brew, or squig oil, or who knows what the orc had on hand, but it runs. It might belch poisonous smoke, clank like a washing machine full of rocks, and shoot flames out the exhaust, likely by design because flames look cool. But as long as it propels his vehicle forward, the orc considers it a success. It's a frighteningly efficient system in its own bizarre way. Orc society doesn't need universities or research laboratories to progress technologically. Their advancements happen in the field, in real time, through what basically amounts to trial and error, guided by gut feeling and the occasional flash of inspiration, or maybe just a flash from an explosion. Hard to tell. If one mech boy figures out something novel, say how to rig up a force field generator or a new kind of extra deadly gun, other mechs might copy the idea, or steal it, or steal the parts of it, or steal his notes if he kept any. Quite likely, they'll just clobber him over the head and take the invention for themselves. But even if none of that occurs, it doesn't matter, because sooner or later, another orc will independently invent the same thing or something similar. Given that their knowledge is genetic, two mech boys who never met might both, at different times, solve the same problem in the same way, just because their brains are wired similarly. The orcs, in short, have an entire species-wide R&D department running on distributed instinct and the occasional spectacular failure. Now, mix that instinctive tech aptitude with the aforementioned wah psychic effect, and you get a recipe for the most wonderfully absurd engineering imaginable. The mech boy builds a contraption that almost works on its own, and the collective orc belief gives it that extra metaphysical push. Think of an orc vehicle as a car held together by some bolts, some tape, and a whole lot of faith. It might physically hang together enough to start rolling, and then the wah field enveloping the orcs aboard sort of says, "All right, keep those wheels on and the engine firing until we've hit that enemy, then you can fall apart if you want." Often these janky machines do finally break, but usually at the most dramatically orky time, like say, spectacularly exploding right after plowing through an enemy line, rather than right before. Orcs wouldn't even complain about that. In their mind, that's just a good finale to the ride. It helps that orcs have a very different attitude towards safety and reliability than, well, pretty much anyone else. The typical orc viewpoint is that if something goes bang in a big way, that's excellent. Even if it was your gun that blew up. At least it was a proper loud bang. They're not risk-averse creatures. An orc will gleefully pick up a volatile plasma weapon or push the red button on an experimental force field generator, unconcerned by the possibility of self-immolation. In fact, orcs often modify captured weapons to make them more powerful at the expense of safety, a concept which doesn't really translate in orcish. They have a saying. Well, if they were inclined to poetic sayings, if it's stupid but it works, who cares? And if it's stupid and it doesn't work, make it louder and more shooty until it does, or until it blows up, then find a new one. Orc cultural attitudes basically encourage a wild Darwinian tinkering environment. Mech boys are constantly competing to make a bigger, noisier, deadlier machine than the next mech. There's no standardized blueprints or oversight to hold them back. One mech might decide to strap 6 rocket launchers to the side of a truck because he thought it would be funny to volley fire explosives while driving. Another mech might see that and say, "Ha, I can top dat," and bolt on a pair of jet engines he scavenged from a crashed jet to make the truck go faster. Never mind that the added thrust might shear the vehicle in half. That's a problem for later. This one-upmanship can result in creations that are both awe-inspiring and comically haphazard. Over time, through battlefield survival, mostly of the machines, the mechs themselves sometimes meet explosive ends during these experiments, a sort of best practices emerges, albeit organically. The really too crazy devices tend to blow themselves up too soon or kill their own crew. We call that a learning experience in Orc land, and the slightly less crazy but still effective ones stick around long enough to get reused or imitated. Ironically, the lack of standardization, the very thing that makes Orc technology seem so jury-rigged, is itself a strength. Enemies can't easily predict what an Orc machine will do, because even the Orcs aren't entirely sure until they try it. Two Orc war buggies might look vaguely similar. Both have four wheels, a big engine, and a gun mounted on top. But one might be a good bit faster, or sturdier, or armed with a completely different type of weapon than the other. There are broad categories of Orc weaponry. They have words for basic things like shooter for a rifle, big shooter for a heavier gun, rocket launcher for a missile launcher, etc. But the specifics are all over the place. To an Imperial tactician, fighting Orcs is infuriating, because you never know if that looted tank the Orcs are charging at you is going to behave like a normal tank, or if the mech boy has turned it into essentially a giant rolling bomb. Yes, they do that. Sometimes the best way to fix a vehicle that's falling apart is to wire the whole thing to detonate on purpose when it reaches the enemy lines. The driver, probably a slightly crazed Orc called a speed freak, considers this a perfectly acceptable battle plan. Bail out at the last second. Maybe. Or maybe he rides it in and hopes for the best. Orcs aren't big on exit strategies. When you compare Orc tech philosophy to other factions in the 40K universe, the differences are night and day, and it highlights just how absurd the Orc approach is, and how somehow that absurdity works for them. Take the Imperium of Man. Humans in 40K treat technology almost like holy relics. The Adeptus Mechanicus literally prays to the machine spirit in each device and has forbidden entire avenues of innovation. They build things by following ancient blueprints, STC patterns, to the letter, often without truly understanding the science, but Emperor forbid you deviate or try to invent something new. Innovation is heresy. You're meant to maintain and ritualistically appease machines, not creatively improve them. Not without a dozen approvals and a couple of inquisitors watching over your shoulder anyway. An Imperial tank is built to a standard pattern that's tens of thousands of years old, cared for by trained tech priests who anoint it with sacred oils. It's reliable, mostly. Sturdy, but painfully unchanging. Now look at an Orc vehicle. Built last week in a shed out of spare parts by a lunatic who was probably half drunk on fungus beer and tested by driving it through a wall to see if it held together. It's been modified 10 times since yesterday because the mech boy keeps saying, needs more DACA, and welding on extra guns whenever he finds one. Maintenance usually involves kicking it or hitting it with a wrench. And there's certainly no deep respect for the machine's spirit. If anything, the Orc assumes the machine fears him, not the other way around. There's a common scene in Orc lore of a frustrated mech or driver shouting at his vehicle or weapon when it malfunctions, "Work, Yagit!" accompanied by a heavy thump. Shockingly, this often does the trick, both because percussive maintenance can jiggle loose components back in place, and perhaps because the Orc's latent psychic push gives it a little jolt of encouragement. It's like comparing a professional army's battle tank to a monster truck built in someone's backyard garage for a demolition derby. One's all rule-bound and carefully assembled, the other's just pure anarchic fun. And yet, in the crazy world of 40K, that monster truck has an uncanny tendency to come out on top through sheer unpredictability and brute force. After all, If the orc vehicle breaks down or gets blown apart, the orcs just laugh, gather the scraps, and bolt it back together, or bolt them onto another vehicle. If it's beyond repair, they'll cobble a new one from whatever's lying around. They have zero attachment to method or form. Only results matter, and the result they want is something that gets them into a good fight and makes a big boom. Let's contrast with another species, the Tau Empire. The Tau are basically the polar opposite of orcs in many ways. They are planners, optimizers, and technologically advanced in the conventional sense. Tau weapons are sleek, efficient, and tested extensively. They use science and innovation in a controlled, methodical way. They probably have teams of engineers working out optimal designs. A Tau battlesuit is a masterpiece of engineering and quality control. Every joint is calibrated, every system is refined. If something fails, the Earth cast, the Tau engineering cast, will methodically analyze the problem and iterate carefully on the design. To them, the orc approach is just barbaric nonsense. If a Tau engineer examined an orc shooter, they'd likely get a migraine trying to find any logic in its construction. It would be as if someone handed you a device held together by paper clips and bubblegum and said, "This is our latest firearm." The Tau, being highly rational, might conclude that orc tech works purely by fluke, and that these creatures are simply too ignorant to realize it shouldn't. They might even refuse to believe what they see, because a Tau's worldview doesn't account for machine works because magic field of belief. They'd sooner assume there's some hidden mechanism they haven't found yet than accept that explanation. Eldar, a Eldari technology, on the other hand, is almost magical, but in a very refined, elegant way. Eldar craft their devices from wraithbone and hyper-advanced materials, often psychically grown or tuned. Everything is deliberate, artful, and their machinery often blurs the line between science and sorcery. They would look at orc tech and be appalled at its crudeness. It's like an artist confronting a finger painting done in mud. Yet even the Eldar have, on occasion, been surprised and likely infuriated that orc power fields and teleportation devices sometimes outdo what the Eldar can achieve. There are reports of orc force fields capable of absorbing tremendous punishment, scrappy little projector gizmos throwing up crackling energy shields that, while unstable and prone to fizzing out, manage to deflect artillery and laser blasts effectively while they last. Or orc teleporters that can hurl entire mobs of greenskins through the warp right into the fray. Sure, occasionally an orc ends up materializing inside a wall or with his head on backwards minor hiccup. The Eldar, with millennia of accumulated wisdom, still see orcs pull off these feats in the most uncouth manner possible. It must drive them slightly mad with frustration. Even within the Imperium, those who have fought orcs extensively learn not to underestimate their tech. There's a famous Imperial Commissar, Yarik, who battled orcs for decades and even took to using some of their own weapons against them. He literally wields an orc warlord's massive power claw as his prosthetic arm. If orc tech truly only worked because of orc belief, you'd think it would fail in a human's hands. But here's the nuance. A lot of orc tech does have actual working parts. Yarity's stolen orc power claw works for him because fundamentally it's a machine. A crude, oversized pneumatic claw that any sufficiently determined mechanic can maintain. It doesn't suddenly fall apart just because orcs aren't around. What might fail without orc presence are those contraptions, which were so shoddily made that only constant psychic patchwork kept them going. An orc gun might jam or break more easily when a non-orc tries to use it, simply because it's no longer bolstered by that aura of belief, and perhaps because the non-orc doesn't have the same blind confidence in it, even on a subconscious level. So there's a bit of give and take. Not every single orc device stops working outside of orc hands, just the really dodgy ones. Orcs do craft functional machinery, just not to any standard an OSHA inspector would approve of. If anything, orc tech works better around orcs, and a little worse when they're not there. Think of the orc psychic field like a confidence booster for their gear. With a mob of orcs nearby, the gun itself is almost hyped up, roaring with extra vigor. Without them, it's more prone to sputtering. Let's talk about a few of the crazier examples of orc technology in action, to paint the picture of how their mindset turns madness into something that kind of works. One infamous invention is the shock attack gun. The name alone is delightfully orky. This contraption, built by a particularly inventive mech, a big mech, the closest thing orcs have to a mad scientist, is effectively a weaponized warp tunnel. But instead of firing lasers or shells, it fires living creatures, specifically snotlings. Imagine little hyperactive goblin-like beings, the smallest of the orc genus. The big mech revs up this whirring, clanking gun. A swirling portal opens with a noise like reality gargling, and the poor snotlings are yanked in and launched through the immaterium, the warp, to emerge inside the enemy's tank or fortification. Suddenly, these terrified and by now viciously angry snotlings materialize among the enemy, causing havoc, chewing on wires, biting ankles, generally being a living nightmare. Sometimes they even materialize inside an enemy soldier, which ends as messily as you'd imagine. Now, the shock attack gun, by all accounts, is wildly unpredictable. It sometimes sucks the meek operating it into the warp as well, much to the amusement of any onlooking orcs, or just blows up on the spot. It's not what any sane culture would consider a reliable weapon. But orcs? They find it side-splittingly hilarious and terrifyingly effective, and they'll use it despite the risks. The only thing that keeps this insane device from being a death sentence for its user is, again, that orc knack and the wah field. The mech boy believes it'll work. He's seen it work most of the time, and his latent psychic field holds the whole rickety dimensional tunnel together just long enough to deliver the payload. It's a prime example of orc tech that really shouldn't function. Even orcs are basically messing with forces way beyond their comprehension, using a gizmo made of scrap and spare gubbins. But it does, because the orcs will it so, and because they simply don't consider that it might not. Or consider their vehicles. Orc trucks are the quintessential orc transport, essentially a post-apocalyptic pickup truck on steroids. They have oversized engines, random bits of armor plating, often more for decoration or intimidation than effective cover, and usually at least one gunner spot on the back with a big shooter. No two trucks are exactly alike. They often lack any sensible safety features. No seat belts. An orc would rather be thrown off gloriously than strapped in safely. No standardized gauges. Who needs dials when you can tell engine health by the sound of the bangs and pops it makes? Sometimes no proper brakes even. An orc will tell you brakes only slow you down. And yet, those trucks will barrel across a battlefield, packed with orc boys who are hooting and hollering, and they'll get their passengers into melee range more often than you'd think. They might hit a bump and toss a few orcs off. Those orcs will dust themselves off and chase after it on foot, undeterred. The vehicle might, on occasion, literally fall apart. Right after delivering its cargo of boys, that's okay too, scrap is scrap. Orcs will just shrug and say, needs to be built stronger next time, as they run into the fray. Orc aircraft, like the fighter bomber, further demonstrate this rule-breaking. A fighter bomber is a flying scrapyard that, by all logic, shouldn't get off the ground. It's basically an orc fighter plane loaded with bombs. The orc approach to aviation is, give it a big engine. or two or three, some wings, they don't have to match exactly, and as many guns as you can strap on and fly straight at the enemy. Aerodynamics? Minimal. Finely tuned avionics? None. An orc pilot often literally sticks his head out of the cockpit to see where he's going. And yet, these things dogfight Imperial Navy fighters and conduct dive bombing runs with alarming effectiveness. Why? Partly because they are fast. That big engine does push that brick through the sky pretty hard. And orc pilots are utterly fearless. Fear is for those who think too much. An orc will happily take risks that would make an ace pilot sweat. And partly, again, because the orc belief probably nudges them along. Their planes hold together through maneuvers that should tear the wings off, because both pilot and plane are too caught up in the excitement to worry about pesky structural limits. One could argue that orc technology works not despite being crazy, but because it's crazy. The orcs' lack of concern for safety, consistency, or even their own survival means they will attempt things no one else would dare. Sometimes those things fail spectacularly, but sometimes they succeed in equally spectacular fashion, catching more sensible foes completely off guard. It's hard to anticipate a weapon or tactic that by all rights shouldn't exist. The Imperium can prepare for an enemy's standard tanks and guns, because they know the specs and capabilities. But how do you prepare for an orc weird boy being used as an artillery cannon? Yes, some enterprising orcs have essentially done that, plugging their psykers into contraptions or just goading them until they release a massive psychic blast at the enemy. It's as dangerous to the orcs as to anyone, but if it works, it works. It's that kind of lateral lunatic thinking that gives orcs an edge. Speaking of weird boys, the orc psykers, they highlight a related phenomenon. Too many orcs in one place can cause bizarre effects even without any devices at all. A weird boy's job, if you can call it a job, is to absorb the ambient wah energy that orcs generate when they're together and riled up, and discharge it in dramatic ways. If he doesn't, his head might literally explode from overload. When a weird boy unleashes that energy, it might manifest as green lightning frying a squad of enemies to ash, or a giant ghostly foot stamping down from the sky. Orcs will insist that's the foot of their god Gork, or possibly Mork, joining the fun. This is orc belief given direct, violent form. They believe so much in their gods and their collective rage that they create real effects, without any technology intermediary. Of course, orcs being orcs, they don't ponder the implications of this much. They just see a weird boy as another one of their many weapons. Stand behind Uzgob da Weird Boyer and poke him when da humies get close, he'll sort him out with a zappy kaboom, har har. All things considered, it's clear that orc technology is a bit of a misnomer. Perhaps we should call it orc techno-belief, or imagineering. It operates on two levels, the physical and the metaphysical, and in both, it's driven by the orcs' utterly straightforward desire for more fun in a fight. They're not burdened by the need for things to make sense, which in the absurd warp-touched universe of 40K might ironically make them the most sensible of all. They expect madness and they get it, on their own terms. In the end, orc technology works because orcs as a whole refuse to entertain the notion that it wouldn't work. Reality in the 41st millennium has little choice but to oblige, at least when the greenskins are around. And while physics and logic are tying themselves into knots trying to keep up, the orcs are already barreling forward, hollering with glee, guns blazing, proving once again that in their world, and unfortunately for everyone else who has to face them, if enough orcs want something to be true, it just darn well will be. So the next time you see an orc mechanic revving up a monstrosity that looks like it was built from a junkyard in an afternoon, don't laugh too hard. That thing might very well run you over, cackling all the while. It shouldn't work, By every law of nature and common sense, it really shouldn't. But this is orc technology we're talking about. It does work. And that's simultaneously the funniest and scariest thing about the orcs. They make the impossible possible every day, and they're having a blast doing it, sometimes literally. In the grim darkness of the far future, where there's normally only war, the orcs add, "And what a ridiculous, glorious war it is." Their technology is a big, loud, clanking middle finger to reason and plausibility, and somehow, against all odds, that middle finger fires off a hail of bullets, and the engine strapped to it roars to life. Absolutely bonkers. Absolutely orky. And that is why orc technology shouldn't work, but does.